This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Every Christmas, someone draws the short straw and hosts, and suddenly it's chaos. You're peeling potatoes at lightning speed. You're trying to find the good plates. You're yelling across the house for someone to set the table before Aunt Carol arrives with her judging eyes. And in the middle of that festive meltdown comes the part no one talks about. Christmas lunch is expensive, properly expensive. And for some families, they're now charging their guests, sending out price per head. So what's fair? What's awkward? And what does all this say about how we navigate money, obligation, and family at Christmas time?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Lauren Rosewarne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Have you had trifle at Christmas time before?
Yeah, certainly better than pavlova, which I think is one of the most disgusting desserts I've ever had. I don't like egg, Warren, and I just feel that the thing I think about with pavlova is also how it weeps, and I just, no. Nothing here is good. I wouldn't pick a trifle, but I'll certainly pick it over a pavlova.
My grandmother used to make two trifles, one for me with no alcohol in it, and then one for everyone else. But I always, when they're at the table, I'd go into the kitchen and get the good one because I thought, oh, the alcohol's evaporated. Surely it's okay.
And so set you on your road of ruin. I grew up in a pudding family, so my mum's always made Christmas pudding.
Yeah. Oh, I would love a trifle. I miss a trifle. A good one. I would love one. If someone knows how to make one, you know where the Joy Drive studios are. Times are tough. Now, let's talk about this. Christmas Day, it carries so much emotion. Why does a simple meal turn into such a pressure cooker for families? And isn't it kind of anti-Christmas in that respect?
Look, I think Christmas is always heightened emotions because I think for a lot of families, you won't see these people for the whole year. So seeing them once a year puts a lot of pressure on that day. You don't see them for a year, often for good reason, right? These are not necessarily people you choose to spend time with. So having them there in Australia, we've also got the odds of a hot day. There's lots of factors that make this a high-pressure situation, but something that we've kind of been experiencing in Australia over the last couple of years is also really high cost of living, particularly when we feel it around food. So this idea of tradition, do we keep doing Christmas as we always have? Some families, it'll be the same person who always does it. Is it rotating amongst different family members? And who's paying for it? Usually that concept of being the host means the default is them. But what do you do if you can't quite afford it, particularly given how expensive everything is at the moment?
That's true. I mean, and when someone says, look, it's at my place this year, what unspoken expectations come with that? Is it the expectation that you cover all the costs?
I think it's going to depend on families in terms of what has gone on in previous years. Mm. If it are always in your family means that whoever's hosting does put on the entire spread, then I think your obligation is to ask them outright, what can I bring or what can I contribute? And that way they, again, get to say, okay, I need a trifle or bring some grog or whatever it might be. Yeah. Another way to do it is if you particularly like making a certain thing, let's say I'm, for example, quite like baking, I'd be the one who'd say, I'll bring the. So that way you're identifying what your contribution is and they can factor it into the meal planning. The other option, though, which we're reading about, which the article I sent you spoke about, which I remember reading last year and it's come again this year, as a woman in England who's charging £150 per guest. Now, I've never been to a home-cooked meal that would be worth £150 per head, right? That's what, nearly $300. I mean, this is just, I've never eaten a meal in my whole life worth $300, let alone someone for Christmas. No, this is not on. But it's put on sort of the discussion, is that an unethical request? Is money the way to handle it? I think it feels weird. Mm. I'd feel weird being asked for money, but I'd also feel weird about giving it. I would rather the potluck situation, less about the randomness of someone bringing some food that's, you know, non-Christmassy and weird, but rather splitting up the duties amongst attendees. I think that feels more collaborative and less money hungry, because also I think you're making a profit if you're charging people £150 a head, Warren.
I think so too. The other thing is, I mean, this is, we always had simple Christmas. It was just my mum, dad and I, and we had lunch, and of course it's just my dad and I this year, and we're joining a very close friend of mine and her family. So I'm wondering what the best thing is to do. Should I be offering and saying, hey, can I bring something, or what's a good way to bring it up?
I mean, I guess if you're close enough with them that you're going to their place for Christmas, I feel comfortable enough asking. But I think there are situations where we've all been kind of orphans, you know, at Christmas time, where we might be living outside of our city and just get invited to someone else's house, etc. And in those kind of situations where you may not have the resources to be cooking, or it feels a little bit strange to bring, I would then bring food, chocolates, for example, or alcohol, things that aren't going to interfere with the meal. Because I think the other weird thing is that if you decide to bring a casserole that needs to be heated and the oven is already full, you've now created a problem for the host. And now I think, you know, in that idea of you being generous, you're actually creating a situation that's not very hospitable for the host. So I think asking if you can is the best way to go. And I actually prefer the not just can I bring anything, because the default for the host is often, oh no, you know, you're fine, rather actually offering, can I bring vegetables? Can I bring a side dish? Can I bring alcohol? Whatever it is that you feel comfortable with.
Do you reckon a trifle's easy to make?
Warren, a trifle couldn't be simpler.
Really?
Have you not watched Mary? I actually just last night was watching Mary Berry, the British cook, describing how to make one. And it's, you can go and buy pre-made cake, soak it in alcohol, custard jelly, some tinned fruit. Bob's your uncle.
Oh, that simple. I could
Have
do that.
Have you been to the zoo before?
I've never made a trifle. Never, ever. I have no idea.
It's the same principles of tiramisu: soaking, creaming, layering.
I'm going to make one. That's really. Can you send me the link, please, Lauren?
I will absolutely send you the link to the Mary Barry. But it's really, really. It's such a simple. It's just the make ahead of time so that everything has time to soak.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne, and we're looking at Christmas lunch, the cost, the stress, and whether families should be chipping in. I'm going to do a Joy Drive snap poll. Should you ask your family to chip in for Christmas lunch? Just text yes or no. Tell us why. 0427 569 949. Lauren, why do we feel guilty stepping back from hosting, even when it's too much? Where does that pressure come from? You know, that sort of avoidance. Well, who's going to have it next year? And we just sort of go back into the corner.
But Christmas is one of those things that there's such pressure on people to do it how it's always been. Mm. I think even if you're not a particularly traditional person, for some reason, Christmas feels like the time you're supposed to replicate years gone by and do things how they've always been done. And you kind of feel, if I don't do that, something's lost from the season. You know, if I don't host, will I see these people that I love? Will that then be lost? And I think for adults particularly, it's very hard to capture what it was that we loved about Christmas as kids. And we're always trying to do it in different ways. And for some people, it's always about repeating past traditions. Because again, when you get older, there's less of those milestones, and Christmas is, you know, more of a chore than something to necessarily look forward to. That said, if it is something that puts you into debt or stress or upset, I personally am very much in favour of evaluating traditions as they come up, asking yourself, do I still benefit from this, or is this a noose around my neck being guilt-tripped from my ancestors? Because personally for me, I'm not interested in my ancestors. I'm not interested in their perceptions of what's a good Christmas, what is best for my own well-being. And that might be spending it on your own, going to the cinema, going out, or it might be making a massive meal because that's what brings you joy personally.
Well, I remember as a kid, I mean, I just would get up Christmas Day and, you know, we'd have lunch. And then afterwards, because everything was closed and it was quiet, none of my friends were around, I used to turn Christmas afternoon and Boxing Day into my clean out day, where I'd go through all my cupboards, all my clothes, and fill up a couple of bags, you know, for the recyclers or whoever, the op shop. And I still do it. Over the Christmas period, I still go through my clothes and I think, right, clean out time. I love it. It's such a good feeling.
It's like having the clean slate for the new year.
It is, isn't it? It's a bit like cleaning it. And you're right, because Christmas nostalgia can make us cling to how we've always done it. How do we change traditions without sort of creating another world war?
Well, I think it's also seeing these things as adaptable. Right. As you get older, things change. And I think something is important, and it's why Christmas can often be a really depressing period for people as well, is because it's also a reminder who's at the table and who's missing. And that can really conjure a lot of upset for people, because if you're trying to replicate everything as it was, then there's going to be glaring absences. And that's really hard for people, and it's really upsetting. So the idea of saying, what is the thing that we want to do this year? What are we going to keep from our past traditions? But what new stuff are we going to do? You know, do we have to keep having, for example, roasted meat if it's a hot day in Melbourne?
No, no.
Or could we actually have something else? Could we have, you know, people talk about seafood? Or could we actually have something that's just easier to prepare, like a barbecue? Because if work out what your priorities are. If your priorities are just bringing people together, the meal is less important. But if you're someone who wants to flaunt your cooking chops, maybe it is something you get pleasure from slaving for 5 days over. I actually quite like cooking, and I get pleasure out of it if it feels like I'm doing it because I choose to. I hate doing it when I feel like it's a burden on my shoulders.
Mel in Sunshine says, yes, hosting costs a fortune. Greg and Glenn Waverley, Lauren says, no, Christmas is about generosity, not invoices.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think that the invoicing, it changes the tone. I think it brings in some resentment as well. I'd much rather, you know, you spend the money on a dish or bottles of alcohol or soft drink or whatever the host needs.
Anita in Brunswick says, my family brings nothing but empty Tupperware. I love that the Christmas leftovers. That's a good one. I hosted last year, $400 gone in an afternoon, says Sarah in Mornington. I mean, it's a big chunk of money.
And the question there, though, is that $400, was it a good purchase in the sense that you got memories, you got time spent with people you love, blah, blah, blah? If so, then you don't resent it. But if you feel like there was a lack of gratitude, if you feel resentful about it, don't be obliged to do it again. I really feel that this is one of those things when you get to be an adult, you get to say no to stuff.
And I'll leave you with this text, Lauren. This is from Simo in East St Kilda saying, trifle is gross.
Either way, I'm going to send you Mary Berry's.
Please, I'm going to make it.
Making a Christmas trifle.
I'll drop you some off, Lauren. Great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us. Catch you next week.
Talk to you next week. Thanks, Lauren.
Bye. Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.